Save USA. Your gift of $13 or more to Save America Ministries, plus $4 postage and handling. God bless you. Be a blessing. We'll be back with you as we finish up this year and launch into the new year next week.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IRN, its advertisers, or affiliates.
Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, this evening, of course, the name may not mean very much to you, but Martin refers to Walter Martin, who was Jill's dad, who many years ago was the Bible wonderful, wonderful ministry for many years, radio ministry, and I many times listened to his program and marveled at his quick wit and his ability to handle questions on the radio. Well, one of the things that Walter Martin did was write a book called The Kingdom of the Cults, a standard book. Very important. We still have our copy of it in my wife's library. My wife has a library. I have a library. I have a few more books than she does, but my wife has The Kingdom of the Cults, Walter Martin. And that's why I was so intrigued when I heard that Jill had written a book called The Kingdom of the Occult? And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. The book is not out yet. We'll be out in a very, very short period of time, though. Because, of course, the cult really is the occult. And what people do not understand is that you can't understand anything going on in the world. You can't understand the wars of the last century. You can't understand what's going on today unless you understand the occult forces that are at work within our society, within the world today. So with that as a background, Jill, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Stan.
And of course, Jill is going to be talking at a conference that is going to be put on, and it's going to be down in Fullerton on the 18th and 19th of January. Is that right?
Right. It's Spiritual Perils in the Last Days, and it's sponsored by Moriel Ministries.
And it's no charge at all to go there.
It's free,
but of course they will take a love offering. But
right.
They're bringing in some of my favorite speakers. And certainly Joanna Michelson is going to be there, Jackie Alnor. And if you want more information about it, why, we can provide that for you or refer you to Jackie Alnor's website. Jackie's on the front lines of this battle, trying to educate people about their cult influences. So with that as the background, you pick up the story, and there will be interruptions from time to time as we go to our breaks, but I'll sort of guide you through that. How did you get started? Well, I suppose that's a superfluous question. I mean, you came from a family where I'm sure your dad used to talk about this subject all the time.
Yes, it was a very interesting childhood. not common, but you know what? I feel very blessed. I do. And now I remember when I was a little girl in the kitchen, and my father, it was late at night. I don't know what I was doing up, but I was up, and it was late at night. My father had all his books spread out all over the kitchen table and his little yellow notebook, and he was making notes and sitting there studying, because that night he was going to debate Madeline Marie O'Hare on the Long John Neville Show. And I just remember him sitting there working, and, you know, there was always a measure, I think, in his heart of anxiety, but, you know, anybody would feel that way. Any soldier would feel that way, I think, when you're going out to battle.
And not only that, but, you know, when you are on the radio, I mean, and especially as a professing Christian, you almost represent Christianity, and you've got to be able to put yourself forward well, and you can't let your normal nature, sinful nature, come
right.
forward. The last thing you want to do is end up, you know, getting flustered or shouting
right.
or even worse, putting somebody down in a demeaning fashion, because although you might win the debate, you would lose with the audience. And so certainly your dad had a tremendous responsibility, and we'll be right back. Will you pick up this story there, Jill?
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, it was an amazing thing, I think, you know, as I look back, as a young girl, being able to watch him preparing for this landmark debate with a woman who had done so much damage to the cause of Christ, you know, and just a simple, what seems like a simple subject, prayer, but really, in reality, prayer, the heart, you know, our communication with the Lord and the damage she had done with that in the school system. And so looking at that and remembering that as a child, I remember there was a small measure of anxiety, but there was also a high level of energy. You know, he was energized, he was ready, he was excited to go and to defend the gospel. And I think those things really make an impression on you, as a, you know, at least they did with me as a child. And never forgot that, and I even woke up when they came back home, and the show went on all night long. And I remember coming in, and it was, my father was just so exhausted, because Miss O'Hare was very, very difficult person to deal with on the air and off the air too. So,
well, I'm sure he did well. There was a fellow named Masters. I've forgotten what his first
Roy
name
Masters.
Was. Roy Masters, and I still have a copy of that that debate between your dad and Roy Masters, and he did such a good job of really bringing out the important things and the fallacies of Roy Masters,
right,
of
right.
theology, and Roy Masters is still out there today doing exactly the same thing, but at least, you know, it would give someone like me, who's not a theologian, the background of the information that should the occasion arise where I would ever have to try to counter what Mr. Masters says, and he's very, very convincing. I would have your father's wisdom as well as anything I could glean.
Yes, Roy Masters was pretty difficult. You know, if I remember the debate correctly, he was pretty difficult to nail down. He had a glib explanation for everything, but, you know, when you really get down to the nitty-gritty and really get down to the quotes, see, that's when my father could nail them to the wall, nail their theology to the wall. Not the person, but the theology.
Right.
What are they teaching? What are they trying to communicate, or what are they hiding behind? A lot of it is what they were hiding behind words, you know, playing word games.
And, of course, there's so many people out there who are misleading the Christians. The Christians are not equipped, tragically, to deal with a lot of these very, very glib salesmen who have an idea, and it always sounds so good, and your life is going to be better, and your dad had such a clear way of cutting right to the very core of the issues, and this is what is wrong. And when you point out what's wrong, why it's so obvious, we need somebody like your father, you know, to help those of us who are not trained theologians in this forest of misinformation. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jill was just telling a little bit about her father and really, of course, how dedicated he was in his preparations for his debates and his presentations. I suppose, like any of us, he had certain misgivings, but you'd certainly never know that when he was on the radio in a debate, whether it be Madeline Murray O'Hara or Roy Masters or any of the other people who were preaching a false gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, Madeline Murray wouldn't be preaching a gospel of Jesus Christ. She'd just be trying to undermine it. But you go ahead, Jill. Tell us about what you are trying to accomplish.
Well, my father died in 1989, went to be with the Lord, and my husband Kevin and I founded Walter Martin Ministries, and, you know, it's something that you're called to, and I never thought that I would be called to do this. In fact, I used to joke around with my dad. I was very proud of what he did, and I used to tell him that, but I used to kind of tease him and say, well, I'm really proud of what you're doing, but I could never do that. And it's funny, you know, God has a really wonderful sense of humor because, you know, he called me and he called my husband Kevin to do what we never thought we would be doing. And now, of course, we feel so honored to do it, to be able to carry on my father's legacy and to be able to make sure that, you know, the wisdom that the Lord granted to him remains out there so that people can have access to it and still learn from it. And, you know, what's so wonderful, Dr. Stan, is that it doesn't matter, I think, that the messenger is not here. The message is here. And, you know, you have all these wonderful things that you can learn from Spurgeon and from others. And I think even though my father's not here, we can all still learn from him.
I'm sure we can. He was a wonderful, wonderful person and had a wonderful ability to communicate ideas. And we are involved in a battle of ideas and so many times so poorly equipped to counter the arguments put forward by the kingdom of the cults or the kingdom of the occult, which permeates every aspect of the world we live in today, and most people don't even know what it's all about.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, that's what's so wonderful about this book, this opportunity to do the kingdom of the occult. My father always wanted to do it. He looked at it, I think, as like a twin volume, the kingdom of the cults and the kingdom of the occult. And he even had researchers working on it at the time that he died.
Why don't you explain to our listeners what the occult is? Certainly, you know, we use that term. And yet, if you don't understand its meaning, you can't see how it permeates our society today.
Right. Well, the actual word occult just simply comes from the Latin word occultus, and it means hidden or secret things. And God defines the occult as having its origin with Satan, the devil. So it's really the devil's weapons against us. It's those things that permeate our culture, permeate things, you know, on TV and in books and in our lives. Witchcraft, Wicca, Harry Potter is one example of how, you know, witchcraft permeates our daily life. And, you know, it's a defense of the faith against these things, against paganism, goddess worship that's infiltrated the church, Gnostic and New Age beliefs like Oprah's The Secret that she promotes on her show.
Yeah, she's speaking now of Rhonda Byrne's a book,
right,
and a DVD, which have been so popular, sold millions and millions of copies, because Oprah has actually featured this not once but twice on her program,
yes,
and encouraged people,
yes,
to look into this. And there's so many people who follow Oprah. She seems like such a nice person.
Yeah, she does. And the thing is that what she reveals in her actions is that she's very into New Age beliefs and New Age thinking, which, of course, is based in Hinduism. And Hinduism is, of course, something that permeates our culture more than any, I think, people actually realize. You know, Hinduism is everything is acceptable. Every belief is acceptable. It may not work for me, and I may not like it, but it's okay for you, and it works for you. That's great. That's Hinduism. And so that permeates every aspect of our culture. You know, you have movies like The Golden Compass and the atheism, you know, and agnosticism that's in that. And so the kingdom of the occult really reaches into every aspect of our lives. And my father wanted to do a book to defend, to teach the church to defend the faith against it.
And, of course, you mentioned Gnosticism. I think that very, very few Christians understand Gnosticism, and yet in many ways, it is the foundation of so much of what's going on today. And certainly, the Gnostics was the first century heresy, but, I mean, it is alive and well, and there are, you know, there are books, I mean, there are magazines, there are groups all across America that embrace Gnosticism, and
right,
Gnosticism is really the foundation of modern-day Masonry. Most,
yeah,
Masons don't know that, but this is where their belief comes from, is the Gnostic beliefs that were, of course, discredited back in the first century after the birth of Christ.
Yes, and really, it's just Gnosis comes from Gnosis, or secret knowledge. Again, there you have it, you know, the secret. They know something that we don't know.
And it is intriguing. We all like to know a secret, but they know the ultimate secret of life.
Yes.
And the trouble is that there really is power out there. There really is a supernatural there are these forces you can tap into, but
yes.
you don't want to do it for, believe me, if you value your eternal soul, you do not want, of course, to be taken in and become one of their disciples.
That's exactly right. There is power out there. There is a dark power out there. But you know what was so amazing to me when I was working on this book, The Kingdom of the Occult, you know, you approach something like this at first, at least I did, with a little bit of fear and trepidation. You know, is this something that I really should do? And I honestly feel that it's something that you need to be called to do. And so when I sat down to start working on The Kingdom of the Occult, you know, I would pray, and I felt such an incredible thing happen throughout the entire process of working on this book, and the Holy Spirit was there, and I felt such a sense of joy because we already defeated this. God defeated this in Jesus Christ. And so my whole approach to this book was one of victory. We've already won. And it comes through, and I just really hope it comes through to other people the way I feel it did when I was working on it. This joy that, praise the Lord, here are your weapons. We have already won. And that's how I approached The Kingdom of the Occult.
Well, you really have to be called to do something like this. And you're right. Of course, eventually God will be triumphant, but there will be difficult times. And yet, you know, if you're a Christian, you can always rely upon our Lord. And
yes.
That's going to see us through. For the people who do not have that Christian belief, when, you know, we begin to see the very structure of our society begin to be eroded, and to see the financial wealth of our country destroyed, and see chaos take place, I mean, what possible hope would those people have? But, of course, when you have a personal relationship with the Lord, you know that He will see you through one way or another.
Right. Absolutely. And I just praise Him for that, that there is that hope He always offers us.
Amen to that. Well, of course, you have to be called. I mean, I'm sure you were called to do what you're doing, because you cannot look into this face of evil, you know, and survive unless, of course, you know, you'll get terribly depressed, you'll get despondent, or, as you say, you could approach this joyously because, well, God wanted you to do it, and you were carrying out His objectives and His instructions and His will in your life.
Yes, and you know, it was an amazing thing because every day that was confirmed to me, and not just to me, but also to Kurt Van Gordon, who worked on the book with me, and it was just an amazing thing for us. I would call him and I'd say, Kurt, do you feel this sense of joy? And he'd say, yes, I do! So it was just a wonderful experience, and what could have been, like you said, so terrible, looking into the face of evil, which is what we did every day for a year and a half. You know, you look into the face of evil and you assess it and you evaluate it and you say, how can we best defeat this? But, you know, without that calling, without the Lord's protection, it would have been an extremely difficult and dangerous thing.
All right. Well, where should we start in the discussion?
Well, you know, I was going to tell you a story about, you were talking about what it was like growing up, and I think there's a real foundation there of faith and trust, you know, in the Lord that my parents laid, both of my parents. And I think that, you know, when you have that faith and trust in the Lord and you grow in your faith, it's a wonderful thing to be in the ministry and to watch the defense of the faith, and it does affect your life. You know, I remember when I was little and the phone would ring in our home, and I remember running up and grabbing it and saying, hello, and yelling up the steps to my father, you know, Dad, Billy Graham's on the phone. Because at that time, my father was traveling with Billy Graham and Bob Pierce of World Vision, and they were traveling all through Singapore and all through the East, which, of course, you know, the heart of darkness, Kingdom of the Occult, and they were doing crusades there, and it was an amazing thing there that God was accomplishing. Thousands of people were coming to the Lord. A really unique and special time. So, you know, I look at that and I look at growing up and in that, and I praise God for that, and I think that that faith and that demonstration of faith and power just spilled into my life, and I know into the lives of my brothers and sisters, and it really changed us and made us the people that we are today. And so when I would tell my father, you know, I'm so proud of you, and I wish, you know, that I could do that, but of course I could never do that, I have to laugh because that's exactly the way my father approached the ministry when he was just a teenager and God called him into the ministry. his response was, well, you know, that's great for other people, but I could never do that. And so it was humorous to me that, you know, my father went the same route. You know, he fought against God and said, no, I can't do that.
And yet, of course, he did do it. He did it very, very well. And
right.
Anybody who's ever really studied the cults knows, of course, the classic book on that, The Kingdom of the Cults by Walter Martin, who was Jill's dad. So we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes as we begin to evaluate what this is about, how it permeates our society. I mean, certainly it permeates the entertainment business. It permeates the political situation, education. It's even infiltrated the church, and many people don't understand these new philosophies have entered the church, you know. The prosperity gospel is wonderful, you know, but it has very little to do with Christianity. You go right ahead, Jill. Go right ahead.
Well, as you know, as I was saying before, I think it was an amazing childhood that led.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your body balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
I mean, how could a Christian ignore the supernatural, not believe in the supernatural? After all, I mean, if Jesus was really born of a virgin and then was crucified and died and resurrected, isn't that supernatural? If Jesus walked on the water?
Yes,
if Jesus could actually make water into wine or could be in a boat and command the storm to stop? And we learn these stories when we are in Sunday school, but yeah, they're all supernatural. They defy the laws of nature. Did they happen? As a Christian, I believe that they did happen. In fact, I believe in the supernatural, but the average Christian never thinks about that.
Yeah, and you know, we are, and it's actually, I think, just in the last 100, 150 years or so, not even 150, but you know, before that, people did, even in the Western world, believe in the supernatural and talk about it and accept it. And, you know, just in this last, you know, in this postmodern era that we're in, you know, people mock it and think there's nothing to it and you're looked down upon if you believe in something like that. But really, if you look at the whole history of mankind, it was not like that at all. The supernatural was always acknowledged. It was always there. So, you know, now we have to fight against that, you know, against that disbelief. And it's difficult, you know, in our culture. But whereas you go over to India or you go over into other countries, Africa, and you'll see such an overwhelming belief. They acknowledge the supernatural, and they acknowledge God's power, and they acknowledge the power of darkness.
Amen to that. Of course, you know, God warned us against mediums and against fortune tellers and against diviners and against astrologers. And
yes, our whole faith is based on supernatural, His supernatural power.
And yet, of course, when you study history, you find that so many of our conservative and liberal presidents have been consulting with astrologers.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And we talk about astrology and the kingdom of the occult, too, go into it and explain what it is, how it works, and really, you know, the false facts that it's based upon.
Yeah, but God tells us to avoid this. I mean, don't have anything to do with
these. That's right.
Because He realizes how fallible we are and how we'd like to get involved in that. And the idea of getting power and getting money and being able to anticipate the future, wouldn't it be wonderful? You knew he was going to win the Kentucky Derby or the Freakness or that, all the money you could make. And it would appeal to every one of our base instincts.
Sure.
You really have to, when you realize what we're up against, you have to say, I don't want anything to do with this. But why don't you start? Where should we start? Should we start with astrology? That's the A. And this is so prevalent today. It permeates. If you go to Washington, D.C. and look at the architecture of our nation's capital, you'll find it was all really drawn up on astrological basis. We have a DVD on that called The Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. But it was all built on astrology. Go right ahead. Why don't we start there?
Well, you know, the thing about astrology, and it's like the secret almost, it holds out this shiny, you know, diamond. You know, I have the knowledge for you. I can tell you based on who you are, your sign, your birth charts, your yearly horoscopes. I can tell you about love and compatibility. I can offer you all these wonderful things. But, you know, the reality of it, Dr. Stan, and I know you know this, is that it doesn't quite live up to its promises. It you know, when you examine, and Dr. Kurt Koch did this, K-O-C-H, if anyone would like some fascinating reading, they should pick up some books by Dr. Kurt Koch. And he examined, he actually went out and did case studies on astrology. And he examined what happened in people's lives when they were involved with astrologers and just how accurate these astrological predictions were. And they were not. It's not everything it's cracked up to be. And you only get little bits and pieces of future knowledge, and they don't all make sense. And most of the time, if not all of the time, Dr. Koch documented that these little bits and pieces of information destroyed people's lives. So, again, astrology, the thing that you know, I learned in delving into the kingdom of the occult was that everything seems shiny and bright, but it's not.
And, of course, once you get involved with this, why, it may be pretty good for a time. But, of course, eventually, why, comes the time to pay the piper.
That's exactly right.
And if you, for instance, were to benefit, you were to get the information that would give you an advantage over other people, and you might make a fabulous fortune. But the time would come when, of course, you'd have to be to pay back for what you've obtained. And, of course, the payment, of course, is your eternal soul. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Jill Martin. And, of course, Riche will be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Jill, you go ahead, pick the story up there.
Well, astrology really is based on fate, and it's tied into your birth date and supposedly who you are. But, you know, there are a lot of things that it's based on that are incorrect, a lot of misinterpretations of facts having to do with, you know, the stars. And so, again, you know, some people base an entire belief system upon this, and, you know, it's incorrect. It's full of fallacies, full of error. So astrology, you know, it looks good on the surface, and people have fun with it, or try to have fun with it, but, you know, Satan always appears as an angel of light, right?
Right.
And, beneath it, there's a lot of darkness.
Well, of course, a lot of people like to read their horoscope, you know.
Sure.
They can get that in the paper, and it's sort of fun to know what you think is going to happen, and if it happens, you know, it's usually just coincidence, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think there's some coincidence in there. I think, like you were saying, there's some dark power in there. There are some things that there is some future knowledge that Satan and his demons have access to. A small amount of that. And that comes through in astrology. And that's why it's so dangerous, because when you involve yourself with the kingdom of the occult, like my father used to say, you're standing on the outside of a door. And when you turn the handle, when you start poking your nose into things that have to do with the occult, you're turning the handle on the door and you're opening it wide up, and you never know what's going to come through.
And you certainly don't ever want to put yourself into that position, because Jill is absolutely right. There is supernatural power. But it doesn't come from the good side, it comes from the dark side. And, of course, just as there's supernatural power behind Christianity and a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, there is also the supernatural power that you can tap into on the other side. But, of course, you do that at the risk of your eternal damnation. And this is what people don't understand. This is what the power of the medium comes from.
Right.
This is the power of the fortune teller comes from.
Right, and you know, so much of the pagan world, too. I mean, our history in this is ancient. The pagan world was dominated by belief in astrology. I mean, the pagans believed that the stars were divinities, and they were controlled by divinities. You know, Apollo was the god of the sun, and Diana was the goddess of the moon, and those kinds of things. So it goes back a long way, and I think that's why you see in the Old Testament where you're repeatedly told, you know, do not worship the stars. Do not worship these things, because you are worshiping demons.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is hard to stand. And Jill was just saying that certainly that we're told in the Holy Scriptures not to worship stars, not to worship the ancient gods, the god of the sun, the god of the moon, you know, Diana. You know, because when we begin to worship these, we're worshiping demonic spirits. Well, before we go on, do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out of the present time for our listeners?
Yes, we actually have a free listening library at waltermartin.com, and you can come there and click on the tapes and listen to my father for free on many different subjects, and we change the tapes every month. So we have that available and a lot of other things on our site. my blog is on there where I talk about things that are going on, like with the book or with the ministry. And that's at waltermartin.com.
All right, fine. That's waltermartin.com. And when will your book be available?
It should be out, hopefully, if everything goes smoothly, September of 2008.
All right, fine. Well, that's 9 months from now.
So I know.
Well, they give us something to look forward to. All right, fine. Well, I'm sure that it'll be great, and we're certainly looking forward to it. But you were just telling us about astrology. Is there anything else you'd want to tell us about astrology, other than the fact that we should stay away from it? That's because even though some of it is fraudulent, sometimes you can tap into this dark power, but it comes from the supernatural on the other side, and this is something that no Christian should ever get involved with, no matter how accurate the information might be and how good it might seem that you're doing good. Why, of course, in the final analysis, you can do nothing but harm to yourself and to many others, but go right ahead.
Well, I think, you know, the bottom line is that when you're involved with astrology, you kind of throw yourself on the mercy of fate. You know, fate rules through the gods, and whatever fate had for you or fate would assign to someone was determined by reading the stars. But, you know, if you're a Christian, you don't have to be at the mercy of any kind of fate, any kind of dark power, any kind of gods that the Bible teaches are really demons. We're not at their mercy. We have the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God, and the Christian, you know, should have nothing to do with any kind of astrology because, you know, like the New Testament says, what fellowship does darkness have with light or light with darkness? None. So astrology should be left behind. It should be defended against. I think that there's a big difference between staying away from it, playing with it, or letting it invade your everyday life, and learning what it is so that you can defend against it. Because we all need to be educated. We all need to know the facts, the basic facts behind astrology and how it works and how best to defend against it so that we can tell people why it's dangerous.
I agree with you totally, and I think it's so vitally important that people are intrigued by anything that is secret.
Yes.
But of course, if it's secret and they're going to tell you the answer here, well, you have to be very, very wary of the information you're going to be getting because it could be leading you astray.
Right.
Of course, this is the problem with all of this business about the secret. Yes, there is a secret. It really has been passed down for thousands of years. There is this mysterious information out there. We want you to know it's there, and we want to warn you, do not try to access that because, of course, it's a one-way path to destruction.
Right.
And I think that is what people don't understand. They listen to Oprah Winfrey, they listen to Rhonda Burns, they listen to Jim Carrey and to Ellen DeGeneres and to Larry King and these nice, successful people, Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup for the Soul, and so many of the people out there that are touting this sort of thing. What
right.
could possibly be wrong? They're all such nice people. And look at Oprah Winfrey, one of the richest women in America today. I would love to be like Oprah Winfrey and have all that money and power and prestige. But of course, at what cost? That would be the question. So you pick up the story from there.
Yes, and the cost is high. Because it's obvious from what we're seeing now. At first, you know, no one really knew too much about what Oprah believed. Never really spoke that much about it, but what we're seeing over the course of the last few years is her beliefs are emerging, and she has obviously become involved and supportive of things having to do with the New Age or the occult, the power of the occult, and accessing what they like to call the universe. So it really is a sad situation, and yes, Oprah is profiting greatly from this, but like you said, at what cost? So, very sad, and the thing about the occult is that, you know, it always portrays itself as the truth. You know, a deeper and profound truth, and just something that we all need to experience. So it draws you in, you know, it's like a magnet, it entices. And that's the problem with the power of the occult. The world looks at it, and you know, a lot of people in this day and age are actually sick and tired of the whole scientific approach to life. That it's only science and facts that matter. You know, they're drawn to this power whatever it may be or wherever it may come from, you know, power that you can draw on through secret rituals and spells. And, you know, they're interested in that. And that's why there's been such a surge in witchcraft and Wicca. And there's no coincidence, you know, that J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter. That's no coincidence.
And, of course, you know, we make fun of the Salem witch trials. I mean, these foolish people who believed in witches. And look at all those innocent women who were just burned at the stake. And, you know, as if there is no power in witchcraft. There really are no witches. There really are no people who can conjure up spells or conjure up rituals. And, of course, the basic purpose of witchcraft is to contact the beings from the other dimension and to gain power from them. And that's what people don't understand.
Right.
Literally millions of our young people and you know, are getting involved in this, and their covens springing up all over. Witchcraft is one of the most rapidly growing religions in the world today. And most people think it's funny. It's not funny at all. These people don't wear pointed black hats, but they do conjure up spells, you know, and they cast those spells on other people, or they can actually have supernatural power if they access it correctly. But we certainly don't want anything to do with that, because it'll destroy your life.
Right, exactly. And they are searching. You know, the thing is, inside of all of us, there's a niche, a piece of us that's missing. You know, and that piece is the relationship with Jesus Christ and with the Lord. And people are constantly trying to fill that. They're trying to fill this void within them. And they're drawn to things like witchcraft and Wicca. They're drawn to this power because inside there's something missing. And so I think that's where the big draw is to these religions, even Hinduism and all these things that offer something. Feel that inside. I know that, you know, I look at some of these Hollywood stars and you think, wow, you know, they look like they have it all. They have money, they have power, they have influence, like you were saying with Oprah. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have those kind of financial resources and that influence? But then you turn around and watch them destroy their lives, so many of them. They just go off, and it's like they're looking for something, constantly looking for something. And I think that that's what you see in people who become involved in astrology and witchcraft, Wicca, so many other things, New Age, Eastern philosophies. They're looking for something, and they're not going to find it outside of the biblical God.
You're absolutely right, but of course, they don't understand that, and of course, a lot of them don't even realize that they need that relationship with our Lord, and you know, they know they need something, but they don't know what it is, and they don't know how to get it. And here is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. Why not try to access that?
Exactly. Exactly. I love what Solomon said. There is nothing new under the sun.
Right.
There really isn't anything new. You've got, one thing that was fascinating to me is that when I was researching, I went back to ancient times, ancient religions, and ancient sources, and I was reading what they were teaching back then, and Dr. Stan, it is exactly what is being taught today under the guise of witchcraft and Wicca and pagan beliefs, neo-pagan beliefs. Same thing being taught today.
And of course, it was taught in ancient Babylon, in ancient Egypt, by the Sumerians, by the Assyrians, by the Persians, you know, and we're talking long before Christ was born.
There's nothing new. Nothing.
In fact, I've often thought that the Magi, the three Magi who came to worship our Lord, tapped into this hidden knowledge. They certainly knew that the Messiah would be born, and they knew where he would be born, and they followed the star. But, of course, they were coming from the other side, although I'm sure they were intrigued by the idea that of the Messiah being born, but these things have all been predicted thousands of years before, and there really is almost like a cosmic clock that is unfolding at the present time, and those of you who know what's going on certainly realize that we are living at the most exciting times in all of history.
Yes, I agree completely, and it was exciting to see God's hand throughout history, how he worked to defend his church and to defend his son throughout history, too. That was an amazing thing for me in researching this book, because, you know, the pagans and their witchcraft and all the other things, the Hinduism, the New Age stuff, all of that, it's been dealt with throughout history. God already, you know, raised up men in the church who had incredible arguments against these things. We follow in a great tradition. And so one thing we really wanted to do is take advantage of that and show people that, look, the faith has been defended for centuries. Now it's our turn.
Right. And, of course, but we have to know how to do that. And we have to understand that some of the great minds of the world have been on the other side, whether it be Solon, who was the Greek, ancient Greek philosopher, and then Pythagoras, who comes along about 520 BC. And I'm sure you then, of course, then we get the Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and Alexander the Great, and they were all into the mystery religions. They were all on the other side, tapping into this supernatural power. That's why, of course, they are still acknowledged today, but we don't acknowledge them for the right reason. We should point out that their teachings were totally fallacious. Even though they may have been great philosophers, they had gotten this by tapping into the dark forces.
And it's an interesting and fascinating subject from the perspective, like I said, that we educate ourselves to defend our faith and defend our families, but not to play around with or not to become involved in. Like, no one should ever think, no Christian should ever think, well, I'm going to try astrology to see if it works. Never. Like, my father always warned me, never become involved in any kind of Ouija board play, nothing like that. Tools of the occult, he called them. Things like Ouija boards, fortune telling, tarot cards, all those things. A Christian should never say, well, I'm going to try this to see if it works, because you're opening yourself and your family up to spiritual and physical attacks.
And, of course, the trouble is that Ouija boards do work.
Oh, yes.
And this is what people don't understand. This is not a game. You know, buy a Ouija board down at a toy store. This is not a toy. This is a weapon to be used against your eternal soul. And you may think it's fun to play this, you know, and to see the mark or whatever it is begin moving around the board, you know, that you're not moving it. Some other force is moving it. Isn't that amazing? You don't want anything to do with that force. Your dad was certainly bringing you up correctly. He recognized that. I don't wonder how many of the parents out there in the listening audience or even our listeners really understand the implications of the Ouija board and what you're tapping into.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I should share this story with you. When I was 15 years old, I disobeyed my father. And when he found out about it later, I think I was 17 or 18, he looked like white as a sheet. But I actually, a friend of mine came up to me in high school when I was 15 years old because she knew my father was a minister. And she told me that her cousin had gotten a Ouija board for her birthday. And her cousin was only like 12 years old. And that this Ouija board was talking to her. So, you know, me being 15 years old, I thought, well, I have to see this. So that night we went over to her house, and I actually experienced a Ouija board speaking. And I have to tell you, it was an incredible thing. That marker, the planchette, they called it, moved all over that board faster, found the letters faster than I could find them in spelling. And so there is a real power there. I've experienced it, but, you know, I also experienced the power of Jesus Christ, because after this demon had been talking to us for a while and making jokes and things to a room full of young teenage girls, I started questioning the board, and I said to it, in the name of Jesus Christ, are you a demon? And as soon as I said that, the whole tone of the answers that came back from the board changed, Dr. Stan. And he went from being joking and funny to being angry and foul. And, you know, in the end, I commanded him in the name of Jesus Christ to leave. And after three times, the planchette flew off the board, and he left.
And of course, but then you had witnessed this supernatural thing. The average person using that doesn't understand that this is a way of manifesting a demon.
That's
but
right.
We live in a world full of demons, and yet the average individual has no idea that they are there or influencing them or influencing their thoughts or the things that are going on around them.
That's right. And that's, again, you know, I think a result of the culture that we live in where we're just raised, oh, no, that can't happen. Oh, no, no, no. There's nothing beyond your five senses. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that this dimension of Earth is surrounded by other dimensions of reality. And those dimensions of reality are not subject to our five senses. That's what the Bible teaches. And it also teaches that Satanist demons inhabit these dimensions. So, you know, it's really, if you go to the Bible and study it and learn biblically, you'll see that this is what God says is real. That we live in a world surrounded by dimensions, full of things we cannot see, and we are expected to defend ourselves with the power of the Lord against them.
And, of course, if we know the Lord, we can be defended, but you certainly don't ever want to try to tempt the demons, because, believe me, they're there, they'll make your life very, very nice and pleasant, and they'll give you everything you want, but you don't want to play games with these things, you know, because they can be very, very vicious. In fact, we have a wonderful a book. It's written by a Catholic priest called Hostages to the Devil, and it's the story of five exorcisms where people became inhabited by these demons. And of course, these were verified by the Catholic Church, and don't want to debate Catholicism, but it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and we recommend it to you because it makes this whole reality of the demonic influence on people's lives so very, very real. Hostages to the Devil by Malachi Martin. We carry that along with a 4-tape set of my interviews with Malachi Martin. This is not imaginary. The occult is real and a dominant force in the world. We'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up the first hour with Jill. Well, Jill, for this hour, we have 3 minutes more. What would you like to do now? And then we're going to go on into the second hour because we'll cover a lot of the other things, but what would you like to leave here? You've got 3 minutes now to finish the program.
Okay. You know, there's a very interesting story about Sharon Tate, the actress. And it speaks to what you were saying, Dr. Stan, about the occult touching our lives. I've discovered during the course of my research with the Kingdom of the Occult that Sharon Tate was involved with the occult. And it just was actually an interview from someone she became involved with outside of marriage in an extracurricular affair. And he gave an interview to the press about 6 months ago where he talked about conversations with Sharon Tate where she made comments like, the devil is really beautiful, and things like that. And that did not come across in the media at all. But Sharon Tate died a horrific death, as we all know. So the Kingdom of the Occult, there are penalties. It's not always just sunshine and riches and happiness. There are penalties to become involved in the occult, and a Christian should never, ever play with the tools of the occult.
Amen to that. Well, of course, you're going to be, I'm sure you know Johanna Michelson.
Yes.
And she'll be, of course, speaking when you're going to be speaking. It's in Fullerton, I should mention, and it's going to be on the 18th and 19th of this coming month, of January, but Johanna's going to be there, and of course she tells about how she had witnessed all these supernatural healings by a faith healer, by a psychic surgeon, only to find out later that all of the people who'd had these miraculous cures, I mean, people who'd been given up by ordinary medicine, they were going to die, they had intractable tumors, and they were cured of them. But later on, when she went back to interview them, because she came to suspect that this was not the Lord, but of the dark side, at least she had actually had an opportunity to go to Switzerland and spend some time over there, and had come back convinced it was really demonic, and she interviewed all of these people who had the miraculous healings, and they were all demonically possessed. And that, of course, you know, gives you some idea what we're really dealing with. But to the average individual, wound up in a materialistic world, this sounds like just totally impossible. People
Yes.
don't believe this sort of thing could go on, and that Ouija boards could be directed by demonic forces, or that, you know, millions of Americans should be directed here towards this direction by a DVD and book called The Secret that's featured on nationwide television. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I do need to mention that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you believe in what we're saying, you believe that there really are the supernatural forces there, and that the battle we face is not a political or ideological or even a cultural battle, but a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, educational, financial battlefield. If you believe that this is a reality, that there are the dark forces, and you'd like to see us continue, and as you know, we have almost 60 outlets every single week, and we have a unique opportunity to reach people all throughout the world. Got a conversation with a gentleman who listens to us regularly in Romania, and other people that we know listen to us in Asia, and certainly in Africa, and in Europe. What a unique opportunity, but of course we couldn't do it without people like you out there in the listening audience who agree with us. So if you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Or if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get that book we mentioned, Hostages to the Devil, by Malachi Martin, why, of course, give us a call. If you'd like to get our four-tape set of interviews with Malachi, that's the Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Our interviews with Johanna Michelson are in a four-tape set called The Supernatural. And, of course, we carry Johanna's wonderful book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. And I will tell you, it's an amazing book. And, of course, we've got an opportunity to get to know Johanna now. Of course, she's married to a minister. She's a wonderful spokesman for the Lord. And she's going to be at this conference. It's going to be in Fullerton. And if you'd like to know more about it, why, you can always give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Jill, do you know the website where people can go to get more information on the meeting?
Yes, they can go to apostasyalert.org.
Apostasyalert.org, okay.
Or they can go to Moriel Ministries.
Moriel, how do you spell that?
Moriel Ministries.
All right, Moriel, and I think that's the gentleman who's putting this on.
Right.
And
right,
he's putting it on for women, and he's a fellow, but that's all right.
Yes, their first annual women's conference, which I think is wonderful. I'm so glad that they decided to do that. Or they can come to WalterMartin.com, and it's right on the first page when you come into WalterMartin.com.
All right, fine. And in fact, my wife is talking about coming. She was really intrigued by it. It's a unique opportunity if you'd like to go, and it's primarily for women, although husbands can go if they want to.
Yes,
but
certainly.
But of course, all the speakers, other than Mr. Moriel, are going to be women. And they've got some wonderful, wonderful speakers there. We've had the opportunity to interview a number of them. And, of course, we're just doing this free of charge because we believe that it's so vitally important that the women of our nation understand these forces. And so, basically, you'd have to get your... you'd have to get your lodging down there in Fullerton, but they can give you, point you in the right direction. And it's a two-day conference. It doesn't cost anything to go, but I think you could get tremendous amount of knowledge because I've been very, very impressed by the quality of the speakers. Well, anyway, if you want to get in touch with our ministry, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like, of course, to really understand how this has been passed down, this information for 5,000 years, we have a DVD called The Forbidden Secret. Actually, you can see that DVD for nothing at our website, or, of course, you can get the DVD along with the syllabus by calling our ministry. But what we're trying to do is warn people what this is about, and prepare them so they can talk to others and explain to them what's taking place today. That we truly are involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we'll be back here in just a moment for the second hour of Radio Liberty. Stand back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, this evening, for the second hour, they're going to be the views of Jill Martin Ritchie, and we're going to be talking about her book coming up. It'll be released next September, The Kingdom of the Occult, which is the volume of her father, Walter Martin, didn't write. He wrote The Kingdom of the Cults, and she's writing The Kingdom of the Occult. And we've been talking to her for the first hour about the occult influence in our society. We've talked about, the astrology, and we've talked about, just touched a little on Gnosticism. Talked a lot about a woman named Rhonda Burns has put forward a book and a DVD that has swept this country, and it's being translated into other languages. It's called The Secret. And we're all intrigued by knowing a secret. I've got a secret, and wouldn't you like to know what it is? Well, a lot of people out there would want to jump at the chance, especially if we promised them that the secret would bring them wealth and power and fame and riches beyond all imagination. And the thing is, of course, is that true? Is it possible to tap into a source of power that will give you all those wonderful things? And yes, but they're not necessarily wonderful things if you get them by tapping into the source, because you're tapping into the dark side. So with that as the background, Jill, why don't you pick up the story, and where would you like to go for this next hour?
Well, you know, there's a quote I ran across when I was researching, and I just love it. It was by C.S. Lewis, and in the Screwtape Letters, and he said, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them."
Right.
And I think that's a great summary of the situation, that, you know, you can go either far to one side or far to the other. But we as Christians, first of all, we have the responsibility to proclaim the victory that Jesus has won. He's won over all of this. And secondly, we have the responsibility to warn people about these dangers, the terrible dangers involved in spiritism and magic and occultism. And there are consequences when people become involved with these things. So we as Christians have a responsibility to arm ourselves, to defend our faith, and to warn people against the power of the occult a power that we have been forbidden to even touch or have anything to do with for centuries, for, you know, since time immemorial. So, you know, it's a great responsibility, and God has given us the power to accomplish it.
He certainly has, and actually the power that was within us through Jesus Christ, not within us as human beings, but within us through Jesus Christ,
is
far greater than the power on the other side. And as you study this, and I study this because I've been called to do it, and it's because we're here really as a watchman on the wall, to be sounding the trumpet call and warning people what is going on. And but when you begin to study this, you begin to realize that the power is there that we can claim as disciples of Jesus Christ. But you don't want to put yourself into a position where you're going to have to utilize that power. You may be forced into it under certain circumstances. There's certain people, of course, who are called into exorcisms and dealing with the supernatural. But, I mean, this is not something you want to play with. This is not something you want to be fascinated with. You know, you want to know it's there and avoid it like the plague. All right, Jill, why don't you pick the story up there?
Well, you know, when you're talking about the world of the occult, one of the major things that we run into, you know, and just in daily life even, is psychic phenomena. And that's, you know, things that happen. Psychic simply refers to the soul, and phenomena is just experiences. But, you know, there's things like flying crockery or plates, you know, moving furniture, slamming doors, these kind of things that happen. Some types of ESP, hypnotism, some types of hypnotism. It's really a combination of things and things that can be controlled by other dimensional forces. So when we talk about the occult, we're talking about dealing with these other dimensional forces. Who are they? What is their goal? What goals do they have? And how do we fight against them? And the church is not powerless. And we're not vulnerable, and we have absolutely nothing to be afraid of, because Jesus has already triumphed over this. And that was the sense of victory, I think, in the book. And also, you know, in Dr. Koch's work, a great book is Between Christ and Satan. And he details there exactly, you know, what can happen when anyone, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, becomes involved in the world of the occult, in astrology or palmistry, anything that has to do with magic, magic rites, psychic phenomena, all those things, automatic writing, these are all tools of the occult and things that are prevalent in our world today.
And there really are people who write their books, and they're channeled to them. They don't write the books at all. I mean, some of the greatest books, you know, I can remember reading when I first got involved 45 years ago were written by a woman named Taylor Caldwell. And they were some of the most wonderful religious, greatly religious books that really inspired you to the Christian faith. But Taylor Caldwell wasn't a Christian. In fact, these books were channeled to her. She had no idea where the ideas came from. And yet, I mean, they just flowed, you know, the stories. And but she had no idea. And so many of the books that are written today are channeled. We don't know which ones. I mean, some people may be writing them on their own, but I suspect that some of the books, especially those on witchcraft coming out of Great Britain, were probably channeled by these demonic spirits, although nobody's going to come right out and say that. But these things happen today. It's not imaginary. We carry have one book, the Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, written by one of the wealthiest women in the world. Her name is Barbara Mark Covered, and in that book she openly admit the book was channeled to her by a spirit she called the Christ Spirit. We'll be back in just a moment with Jill. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Jill, why don't you go ahead and pick this story up?
Well, that was an excellent example that you gave, and there's also a woman by the name of Jane Roberts, very famous, who channels Seth and writes volumes and volumes about Seth and his wisdom, you know, and I use the term loosely. But yeah, those are examples of the occult and of the power of the occult coming through into this world and trying to touch our lives, trying to change our lives, and not for the better. So it was a fascinating thing for me to to read and examine these things and to see the strategy that the devil has in attacking us. And you know what? It's a strategy that is not anything new. Same strategy that he's used down through centuries. It's just the new thing is that we're the ones who are dealing with it now.
And then we need to be prepared, and those of us who understand what it's about need to prepare the others. This is the thing. When the people encounter this and they have no idea what it's about, they're intrigued, and they may very well want to tap into that secret power.
Right, exactly. And, you know, you have occult churches. Like in Paris, there's a church that says, "We worship the prince of this world." There are all kinds of things going on in this world, all kinds of evil. And, you know, we're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to shed light in a very dark world. We are the salt of the earth. You know, we are here for a reason. We're not just here to live our everyday lives and go about everyday tasks. We're here for a very important spiritual reason. We are here to defend the faith, and we are here to warn others and to bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's what this book, I hope, does. I hope that it really equips our church, to defend the faith against the occult, against the powers of darkness.
Well, but, you know, the trouble is that today, I don't think most of our ministers even believe in a lot of the things we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. And isn't that sad?
Well, it really is, but how are we going to reach them to make them, they've got a lot of book learning. I mean, they know the scriptures a lot better than I do, but you know, the idea that there really is a supernatural, that these stories in the Bible aren't just simply stories, but they've really happened, that Jesus actually could walk on water. I mean, how can you walk on water? You just want to fall right down, you know, and you know, right up to your neck. And and yet, of course, the thing is that if we believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God, then Jesus Christ did all of these things. But we shouldn't be surprised, because once we realize that there is a supernatural out there, all of these things, it can be readily explained. Not on material things, but because we're dealing with powers beyond the comprehension of our finite minds.
Right, exactly. And you know, you're correct. A large part of the problem today is that there are many involved in the church who deny. You know, they deny not only the power of God, they deny the power of darkness. And so, you know, you have to almost wonder, why are they even involved in a church? What is it giving them? Because, you know, it's certainly not giving anything to anyone else, not anything helpful. So, yeah, that is a huge problem. And my father, he used to, that was one of the things that just used to really make him angry. And I think it was a righteous anger. You know, he used to say, today what you hear, you know, you've got soft lights, soft music, and even softer sermons. You've got the lines blurred between what is the gospel and what our world, what is the cultural gospel. The lines are blurred. And that used to just, boy, he would stand up in the pulpit. He'd stand up and pound the pulpit. You know, you've got to tell them the truth. No matter what it costs you, you've got to tell the truth.
But a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. I mean, that's why Joel Osteen is so popular.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they got 16,000 people, and, you know, come every Sunday, and then, of course, you know, they got another, you know, 7 million or 10 million people, 7 million people, I think, who listen to his television program, and he doesn't even ask for money. People just send it to him automatically, you know, because he offers a wonderful, wonderful message, you know. You can be prosperous. God wants you to be prosperous, but there's nothing about we're sinners, nothing about salvation, nothing about Jesus Christ, but simply the fact that God wants to provide for you and make you happy. And that's a message a lot of people like to hear.
Well, it's a feel-good gospel. A feel-good. You know, it's the whole Norman Vincent Peale positive, the power of positive thinking, positive, everything's positive. But I love a story that my dad tells about Dr. Barnhouse, who was his mentor. And he tells a story about how Dr. Barnhouse met with Norman Vincent Peale in New York when Norman Vincent Peale was, like, riding the crest of the wave of his power of positive thinking. And Dr. Barnhouse met with him, and Dr. Peale asked him, you know, what do you think of my book? And Dr. Barnhouse said, well, you know, before you can ever be positive, you have to be negative. Are we sinners? Yes, we are. You know, did Christ die for our sins? Yes, he did. Why? Because we're what? Sinners. You know, you have to be negative, negative, negative. And without being negative, you can never be positive. But in the world we live in today, everything has to be positive. It's not socially acceptable to criticize anyone else's beliefs. But the Bible says there is only one way to God, only through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said we must analyze, we must fight against, we must criticize these beliefs because they are not right.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, Chris, I'm sure you had an awfully good teacher from this, but unless people realize that we are sinners, and that's why we need a Savior. Why, and without a Savior, there is no hope for us. Why, we're going to keep right on being sinners and leave ourselves wide open to eternal damnation. And but what a wonderful thing it is to know that we do have that hope of salvation, which
yes.
These other people don't have. All they have is, you know, we're going to live it up here and on earth, and you see these people, you know, in the audience at Joel Osteen's church, and they're all so happy, and they're clapping, and they're getting what they want on Sunday. They're going to go home and feel good, and because if I go to a sermon and I don't come out convicted, once again, that I'm a sinner, I think that the minister has lost his opportunity. That's the message we need to have. But there is a message of hope there as well, because, of course, even though we may be sinners, we have the promise of salvation, which the rest of the people don't have because they don't know that they're sinners, and they don't know they need a Savior, and they certainly are not going to have the benefit of that when the judgment day comes.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we have so much to rejoice over. I love what Dr. Koch says when he says that the gospel is the story of the greatest victory ever won in the course of the world's history. I just love that. You know, the cross stood at Golgotha as a sign of Christ's victory over death and hell. He has liberated us from the powers of darkness. We have already won. And this is the message that we need to get across to people. This is why I think, you know, the kingdom of the occult is so important. And that is to train us, to teach us, to take a stand, to educate us so that we can go out and shed light into the darkest parts of the world where you hear and read and see all of these terrible things.
And, of course, the thing is that the supernatural is much more prevalent in Africa. And I certainly sensed that when I was there teaching in a medical school in the mid-70s. And the people there certainly were witness this supernatural all the time from the
yes.
dark side.
Yes.
And that's why they went to the witch doctor, you know, they'd go to the witch doctor before they go to the white doctor. We always said we used to get the consultations from the witch doctors. I practiced medicine at a major medical school there for about 3 years. It was a great adventure, but you were well aware that the supernatural was common there. I understand it's very, very, very common in the Orient, certainly in China and the other countries, and I suspect it is throughout most of the rest of the world that is not in the Christian domain. But I suspect, and I'd like to know your thought on this, that we're seeing a lot more of the supernatural in America today than we did, say, half a century ago. Because, of course, this country, once a great Christian nation, is no longer a great Christian nation. The very fabric of Christian belief has been eroded right here in America.
Yes, it comes down to compromise, I think. The same thing that, you know, that we were discussing and that my father was so angry about is the compromise of the church. The lines have been blurred, and what we have now is you turn on your television set and you can see a program called Ghost Hunters, and, you know, there's witchcraft everywhere and talk of spells and channeling and really the pagan beliefs and pagan powers have infiltrated our society. You know, you've got vampires and monsters and movies and glorifying evil and pentagrams and upside-down crosses. And these are all, you know, marks of the occult and the infiltration of the occult into our society. And it has really, you know, people sometimes laugh and say, oh, well, you know, what does anything on TV have to do with what happens in real life? You know, there's no proof that this affects things that happen in life. And, you know, there really is. There have been studies done, you know, on violence-themed media and how that affects people. And there are statistics that show that what you see on TV and how the media, you know, whatever content is included in the media that may be negative or violent, it does affect you. And that goes right to what Matthew 6 says, you know. The lamp is the eye of the body, lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And we've got a world that is full of darkness. We need to be careful what we see. We need to be careful what our children see and make wise choices in that respect, too.
You're certainly absolutely right. And the problem is that the average individual doesn't understand that what we watch on television can influence what we are and our reactions and what our concepts of right and wrong are. And of course, think of the impact this has on the children. And then we wonder why we have an increasingly violent society. We wonder why we have people who lie, why we have politicians who lie, why these ideas of taking an oath to God to uphold our Constitution have no meaning at all to the people in government, because they have no concept of the reality of God and the importance of swearing an oath to God. Words no longer have true meaning. Well, Jill, you go right ahead there with your thoughts.
Well, you know, this whole furor, the recent furor, I should say, over Harry Potter, I think is a really excellent example of how the lines are blurred. You know, when you have major Christian magazines saying, why we love Harry Potter, that's a problem. Because J.K. Rowling crossed the line in Harry Potter and included a religion. She included witchcraft into a children's story. And it set off a furor in the Christian church. I mean, you know, I was at meetings where people would just become so angry. You know, Christians become angry with each other, saying, ah, there's nothing wrong with Harry Potter. It's just a children's story. And the problem is it's not just a children's story. Rowling included tools of the occult. She included tea leaf reading. She included talking to the dead. She included spells. She included all things that are associated and have always been associated with the occult and with witchcraft. So when you take a religion and you insert it into a children's story, you have a big problem. And that's where I think the lines became blurred, where a lot of people did not want to accept the fact that a children's story was really that big a deal, that you know it really made that much difference. But it did. There are statistics, there is story after story of kids and people who have become involved in witchcraft and in Wicca as a direct result of their contact with Harry Potter.
And I don't think most people understand, you know, the implications. I mean, the author of the Harry Potter books made almost $1 billion. She's one of the richest women in Great Britain at the present time as a result of those books, which have sold all over the world and been translated into all different languages. And what they were purpose, in my estimation, was to introduce children to the supernatural and
right.
make it fun. I mean, who wouldn't like to be able to fly around on a broom? Who wouldn't like to be able to have this supernatural power that Harry Potter did?
Right.
And, go right ahead.
Right, that's exactly right. And you know, the occult pays very well. It does. I mean, J.K. Rowling just revealed at a Carnegie Hall meeting that the head wizard of Hogwarts is gay, a gay man. That's something that she has planned and had planned or did plan years ago and eventually planned to tell everyone. So now you have revealed in her story that one of the major characters is a gay man. And this, you know, to me, that was just a real confirmation of what was in Rowling's heart when she wrote this. She never wanted any kind of Christian allegory or Christianity attached to Harry Potter. And the fact that Christians were claiming it as their own, with all of its witchcraft content, to me, is really an amazing thing. But yeah, you know, that pervades our culture, and then you can't even turn on the television set. You know, if you turn on what seems like a harmless cartoon, for example, a cartoon named Avatar, which is was developed and is shown by Nickelodeon, very popular children's channel, and that's a fantasy-based storyline, and it's totally influenced by Hindu religious ideas. I mean, in the Avatar website, you'll see things like where they talk about water, earth, fire, and air, and how the Avatar is the master of all four of these elements. Totally Hindu theology. That's what our children are being hit with in a cartoon. And that's only just one cartoon. There are others. You know, Scooby-Doo has some interesting things in it. Scooby-Doo.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And Jill is just saying now the influence of the occult is in children's cartoons. And so many of the children's cartoons have these occult messages. And the parents don't know what the child is watching. He's watching things on the children's channel and even on the Disney's channel. Sometimes you'll see these occult messages coming through, and the average individual has no idea that their child is being introduced to the occult and will be open to these occult ideas as they grow up. Now, some children may very well grow out of it, but others will not. They're intrigued by the supernatural and by the power that's there. And what child wouldn't like to have that power to be able to do these wonderful supernatural things? So you pick up the story there, Jill.
Yes, it really is an incredible thing, you know, when kids turn on the television and get hit, you know, right between the eyes with Hindu religious ideas and with channeling. You know, Yu-Gi-Oh!, a very popular cartoon about a young boy named Yuji. He has magical powers and he channels an ancient Egyptian wise man. Now, that's just another example of what our children are being hit with. Scooby-Doo has one episode that my daughter pointed out to me. You know, she's a teenager, and she pointed it out to me and said, "Hey, Mom, you know, they're talking about Wicca here on Scooby-Doo." I thought, okay. And you know what the whole consensus was? It was that Wicca is really a wonderful thing, a great, peaceful religion. And, you know, this is what our children are hearing. And then you've got, like we were talking about, you know, The Secret, and its basis on Wallace Waddell's 1910 book, which is The Science of Getting Rich. That's what Rhonda Byrne based The Secret on. You've got that. Everywhere you turn, you've got the Da Vinci Code that, you know, we were hit with Mary Magdalene and how Jesus had a daughter with Mary Magdalene. This is what permeates our culture. And we need to have answers for it. We're required to have answers for it. And that's what I hope the Kingdom of the Occult will help people do, is answer the questions, the tough questions.
Well, do you have a section there on Gnosticism at all?
Oh, yes.
Well, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about Gnosticism? Because I think it's so vitally important that people really understand what Gnosticism is all about.
Well, you know, of course, I know you're familiar with the fact that Gnosticism is ancient. And it really means several different things having to do with secret knowledge. And when it came to the Da Vinci Code, of course, the Gnostics, you know, they used the Gnostic, based on Gnostic Gospels that said that Jesus had another life, a life that was not recorded in the Gospels. And this is the kind of thing that you run across in Gnosticism. Gnosticism is also linked to goddess worship. You know, the secret behind, you know, the secret hidden behind the Gospels or in other Gospels that really, you know, there's a goddess, a female goddess that we can worship, the other half of God, God and goddess. This is another type of Gnosticism. It permeates all levels of society. Again, this knowledge, this secret knowledge. And that's what's so dangerous about Gnosticism. People can take it and interpret it, misinterpret it, reinterpret it into anything they would like. And we see it everywhere today. And you'll see it in philosophy that comes across in books. It's just a very powerful, very dangerous philosophy. And there are different aspects of it, and I suppose we could talk about that like for the next hour on all the different aspects of Gnosticism. It's prevalent in Kabbalah, which you see today now with Madonna, the new type of Kabbalah that's out there, that there's a secret light, you know, a secret power in the light and the light of the universe and how it permeates. The light permeates every aspect of our lives. And Gnosticism was condemned as heretical back in the early church. I mean, they fought hard against Gnosticism back then. So, again, nothing new under the sun. And, you know, you've got reincarnation tied in with this Gnosticism, the secret knowledge. And, you know, it all combines together in this occultic brew. And we need to have the answers for people. We need to be able to say to them, this is not of God.
Amen to that. Well, that's certainly a thing is, the Gnostics, we were there in the latter half of the first century, and then certainly they were condemned in the second century. And, of course, the founders of the church at that time realized the danger that these heretical ideas could have. And of course, they dealt very harshly with the Gnostics, understandably, because by infiltrating the church, they were intent upon destroying Christianity. Well, not today, why Gnosticism is prevalent, and it permeates every aspect of our society. And this is what people really don't understand. Of course, it's the background of modern-day Masonry. It's an important part of the New Age and Theosophy and Rosicrucianism. And we're going to be back in just a moment. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jill Martin Ritchie. And go ahead, Jill. You were discussing Gnosticism. Was there anything else you wanted to say about that?
Well, just that, again, you know, it was ancient. It arose during the Hellenistic period and spread. The Christians fought it, you know, ferociously. They really fought hard against Gnosticism because what the Gnostics do is they take everything that's in the Bible, everything that we consider true, is not true, according to the Gnostics. You know, they take good and evil and twist them together. They turn God into male and female. It's mysticism. It's metaphor. It's, again, we have secret knowledge. We can help you. We have secret power. Follow us. Don't listen to the Bible. Don't listen to God. None of that is true. This is what's at the heart of Gnosticism. Adam was androgynous, you know, male and female. These are the kinds of things that actually are infiltrating the church today.
Yes, they certainly are. And unfortunately, everything is done to try to get us to question. Well, yes, of course, that's very good, I mean, the things you say about Jesus, but I mean, did you know, for instance, what happened to him between the time he was 12 and
right.
and the time, of course, he went off and declared himself in his ministry? Did you know that he'd gone to India? You know, and of course, so we have all these books about Christ in India. And then, of course, the idea that, well, yes, he was crucified, and but he really didn't die. You know, he ended up and going over to France and marrying Mary Magdalene, and, of course, there is the official line of Jesus Christ, the Merovingian line in France, and the basis of the and of all the monarchies of Europe today, and the secret societies that represent these lines, the secret lines of Christ. And to the average individual who's never studied any of this, you wonder, well, could there be some truth to it? And then they've got all these lost books of the Bible. That, of course, people are, you know, never get a chance to read because they've been outlawed by the church that doesn't want you to know the truth.
Right, exactly. You know, the Gospel of Thomas, and, you know, they take Jesus and just take the Jesus of the Bible and pervert him. I mean, they say the virgin birth was, you know, had nothing to do with Mary's conceiving by the Holy Spirit, you know, and Jesus is just, you know, he's born of a divine spark from the Godhead, and that type of thing, you know, incarnated as Logos. So they take the real, true Jesus of the Bible, true man and true God, and they take him.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, Jill was just saying how the Gnostics have taken the story of the Bible and changed it completely. And what they've done, you know, they have all these lost books of the Bible, and they will change the very essence of the Christian faith. And, you know, they always have the secrets. They're well read. I'm talking to Gnostics discussing with them. They know the Bible in many respects and biblical history far better than you and I do, because they're schooled in this. But that schooling, that education, has turned them against the simple message of the gospel. Would that be true?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. You know, they basically denied the bodily resurrection. They denied everything that we accept as true and right and scriptural. They denied, perverted, or twisted. And it still happens today. It's still going on today. You know, resurrection was not what the resurrection that we accept, a biblical resurrection, not that at all. You know, it's all an allegory. It's not, you know, anything like what God said happened. And the Gnostic is always looking for inner consciousness to get to a higher spiritual plane. That's Gnosticism, you know, searching for secret knowledge to get to the higher spiritual plane.
Amen to that. Well, right now our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we've got Maggie calling from Texas. Hi, Maggie. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Have you called before?
I have called, yes.
Okay, fine. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes. I would like to know your and your guest's opinion of the Urantia book. Does it represent Gnosticism, and who do you think wrote it?
All right. What can you tell us about the Urantia books? Have you come across that?
Yes, actually, we do touch on that in the Kingdom of the Occult.
All right, fine. What is the Urantia book? Who wrote it, and why should we avoid it like the plague?
Well, you know, it's a book that touches on spiritual things and philosophical things. And the writers of Urantia, it's such a huge subject. I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it. It's part of the Urantia Foundation, and they first published the Urantia book in 1955. And in it goes into the nature of God, God and the individual, cosmology, you know, the history and future of the world. And it is a true example of Gnosticism. It really is. It goes into a man named William Sadler was responsible for it, and you know, talks about psychic phenomenon. It's laced with the occult and occult teachings. They actually claimed, the Sadlers actually claimed, that papers of the book physically materialized from 1925 to 1935. So you see, they're claiming a supernatural birth, as it were, you know, of this Urantia book. So you're dealing with the same type of thing, same type of occult material, same type of occult power, and same type of Gnostic teachings woven in it, you know.
But isn't it, a lot of it is aimed at undermining our belief in the Christian story and the Christian faith?
Right. Instead of the God of the Bible, you have God who is a mystery. And again, this is pure Gnosticism. God who is a mystery, you know, in the infinite scope of perfection. That type of thing, you know. Instead of a God who loves us, his children, and who reaches to us, and he's personal, you have a God who becomes impersonal. And that's what Gnosticism does. It removes the personal, the close, loving God, and it replaces him with an existential, far away, cold, unreachable person. Not even a person, a thing, an idea. That's what Gnosticism does. And you have this coming through in the Urantia book, too.
All right, Maggie, anything else?
Are you saying then that this book was channeled to one person?
Yes. The Sadlers didn't say that, they didn't call it channeled, but in essence that's what it was, because this book materialized period of years, yeah.
But if it materialized, it's that's almost like channeling.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Thank you. I'm also curious about Barbara Marx Hubbard's book of co-creation. Is that available in print to be seen?
Well, I have the book. I have a copy, and then I have a copy of the original text that she passed out. Basically, what happened was, that she, this book was channeled to her by something she called the Christ Spirit, and she took a tour across America, and she actually sold this in loose leaf form, duplicated on a copy machine, to a number of people, and several people actually sent me copies of some of the pages, which we do offer here. Now, then, of course, the book came out in regular form, and whether it was hardback, I don't know. We have it in softback. It was actually then financed by the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities, the publication of the book. And they cleaned it up. They took out the part about how they're going to have to kill a quarter of the world's population, where of course, Barbara Marx Hubbard talks about how they're going to have to eliminate the one quarter of the world's population that will not evolve to a higher level of consciousness. And then she says, that's not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse death. And if you'd like those pages, you can simply call us. We'll send them a duplicate, half a dozen pages of the original manuscript to you, which is not in the Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, in that one that was put out under the auspices of the Rockefellers. So they cleaned it up, but that's really what it's all about. They really do intend to kill off most of the world's population. Barbara Marx Hubbard is one of the wealthiest women in the country. She ran for vice president. Democratic nomination for vice president in the early 80s against Geraldine Ferraro. General Geraldine Ferraro won. But how'd you like to have Barbara Marx Hubbard as your vice president?
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, anything else, Maggie?
I wondered, did you happen to read her, I think it was her first book, was called The Hunger of Eve?
No, I really didn't.
Okay, that might have interested you, too. It just kind of depicts a very, very spoiled rich princess who could more or less write her own script, and that's what she ended up with.
Right, and it's unfortunate that there, a lot of people, well-motivated people, get trapped into the occult, and of course they're on their way to hell unless we can go ahead and reach them somehow. All we can do is pray for them, and that's all you can do for Barbara Marx Hubbard. But she's still around, and she's still preaching her cosmic gospel. God bless, and thanks so much for calling, Mark.
Thank you.
Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And obviously, Maggie has a good understanding of a lot of these things we're talking about, and I think a lot of our listeners do. But anyway, if you have a question or comment for Jill, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Anyway, Jill, go right ahead with your story.
Well, you know, it's interesting that she brought up the Urantra book because, really, it's a fascinating example of this communication with... They claimed, actually, they were communicating with celestial beings. And it's an excellent example of how the occult really actively seeks to be in contact with us. Demons really do want to be in contact with us. They want to communicate and influence our lives, and it's an influence for destruction, not in any way positive. So that was a great example.
And of course, you know, there's this idea that you have a helper. It's like a guardian angel out
right
there. Wouldn't you like to be in touch with your helper? You know, and of course, there are people who get in touch with the helper, and in fact, in some of our schools, our children are being taught to get in touch with their helper, and the helper is there, and it's funny, and does all sorts of good things, and you just feel so comfortable with the helper. But after a while, the helper begins to change a little bit.
Yeah.
These are demonic spirits. They actually, in some of our schools, are teaching the children to get in touch with them. People have no idea that these things are going on today in the public educational schools. We couldn't mention Jesus Christ, but it's all right to mention you have a helper out there and you want to get in touch with him.
Right, and they call them spirit guides now. You know, we all have to get in touch with our spirit guide. And why do we need a spirit guide? You know, I'm wondering. All of a sudden, we all have to have a spirit to guide us in our lives. And that, again, you know, this fostering, this link to the occult, to powers other than God, anything other than God.
Amen to that. I think that so absolutely everything is aimed at destroying our faith in Christianity. And Sydney, there's so many of the teachings out there. All they need to do is get you to begin to question. It was sort of like with Eve, you know, poor old Eve, you know, and Satan said, you know, the Lord has said you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die, but you're not going to die. The Lord didn't really mean that when he said that. All they need to do is raise the question in our minds. And, you know, I can remember in college as they began to undermine my faith and the very diabolical teachers there, their purpose was to destroy our faith in Christianity. And first of all, you have to destroy your faith in, you know, in what's written in the Bible. And the Bible says that the world was created in 7 days and about 6 or 7,000 years ago. But then, of course, you got all the scientific evidence that the earth's been around for billions and billions and billions of years. So you can't have it both ways. And once they can begin to get you to question your faith, why, of course, it's only a matter of time before your faith is gone. And let's go to Jane, who's calling in from West Sacramento. Hi, Jane. How you doing?
Oh, good. How are you guys doing?
Doing just fine.
Good. Well, I just have a quick question for your guest, Jill. Without really getting into the whole story behind all of it, I know when your father started this organization, which is still going on, I've heard that some people say that they've really kind of gone off the deep end and as far as, like, the eschatology and all of that concerning when the Lord will come and
well, let's see if I don't know whether Jill wants to get into that. The question is, you know, has the eschatology of the Bible answer man changed? Should you want to touch that? You don't have to answer that.
I have no problem answering that at all. In fact, you know, I'm really glad that she asked that question because, frankly, we called for the resignation of Hank Hanegraaff several years ago in the Los Angeles Times, and we continue to call for his resignation. He was never chosen by my father. He does not belong in the chair of the Bible Answer Man, and I think, you know, things that are coming out now with his preterist views and, you know, negative comments on Israel, all these things are very upsetting, and we, you know, as a family certainly do not support him as the Bible Answer Man. So I'm very glad that she brought that subject up.
All right, Jill, well, you...
Okay, I was afraid it was
kind
of touchy,
Jane, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was true or not. I had frankly quit listening after a while, to be honest, but, mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to disparage something that wasn't true, but...
No, it's a very sad situation, and, you know, we just ask for prayers for Christian Research Institute that... the Lord would return it back, you know, turn it into the hands of a man of integrity.
And, of course, this preterism is a very, very strange a sect of Christianity. The trouble is there's so many good Christians who are preterists. But, of course, I'm certainly not a preterist. I think it is totally unbiblical. Anything else, Jane?
No, that was just curiosity.
All right,
thanks
fine. Well,
much.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Jane.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Jane calling from West Sacramento. Again, our number is... 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Jill, thank you very much for answering that question. I just didn't want to put you on the spot that maybe you didn't want to get into.
No, I'm happy to answer questions on that subject.
All right, fine. So, well, basically now, what other things? We've only got a few minutes now. It's amazing how the 2 hours has flown by, but what are some of the other points that you'd like to leave with our listeners about the kingdom of the occult?
Well, you know, I think it is so important, and I know we've mentioned this several times, but it's so important first to recognize that there is this power. There is this power surrounding us. We don't just live in a scientific world where everything is black and white. There's a lot of gray out there, and, you know, we are surrounded by dimensions where there is this power, and God says there is a full-scale war going on here. And we need, as my father always encouraged people, we need to be ready, to get ready for combat. And that means study the Word of God, you know, to not be ashamed, and to rightly handle the Word of truth. We need to study the Word of God. We need to learn the strategy of our enemy. I mean, when you go into battle, you need to know how your enemy has fought other wars in order to win. So we have to take a look at his strategy and say, how has he done other things? What has he taught down through the centuries? What are his strategies? And that, I think, we go into in the Kingdom of the Occult. We show how you can, 1, 2, 3, 4, defend your faith against all of these things without being overwhelmed or afraid, so that you have the knowledge you need to protect yourself, to protect your children, and to protect your neighbors from these things. And so I guess if I could get anything across, it would be, don't be afraid to stand and fight. It's what we're called to do, and God can equip us, and he has equipped us in the scripture and in all these wonderful books written by Christians teaching us to defend the faith.
But I think our most powerful weapon is prayer.
Yes.
And I believe, I'll never forget Constance Cumbie's talk. She talks about going to this meeting. There are 1,300 people there. They're all into the occult, and she's there all by herself on the other side. And there, of course, Benjamin Krem is there. He's going to get himself possessed by the demonic spirit. And everybody's waiting for him to get possessed by the demonic spirit. And Constance Cumbie is praying against that. And when they all pray this prayer, this standard prayer that's prayer to these occult meetings, she was praying the Lord's Prayer. And the demonic spirit never appeared. And here's, you know, the fact of one Christian praying against 1,300 people praying on the other side was able to keep the demonic spirit from appearing gives you a realization of the power that we really have if we believe in the power of prayer and we're true to our Lord. And we, you know, we need to understand that prayer is really the only weapon we have against these. Certainly education is fine, and I believe in education. But in the final analysis, when push is going to come to shove, the only way we can possibly stand against the people on the other side, the forces of the demons on the other side, and protect ourselves and our family, is by the power of prayer. Would you agree, Jill?
Absolutely. You know, I go to the Gospels, and how many hours did Jesus spend in prayer?
Amen to that. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Jill, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program for it.
Well, you know, I would just say that the occult, the goal of the occult is to neutralize and annihilate the Church of Jesus Christ. And God instructs us to put on the armor of God and fight against it, fight against all these forces of darkness. And that includes taking up prayer, spending time in prayer, in the Word of God, reading, arming ourselves, educating ourselves, putting on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For what? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood.
Amen to that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world,
right,
against spiritual wickedness in high places. So therefore put ye on the whole armor of God. And that's the only protection that we have, really, in this. And I'm sure you're well aware of that. And I'm sure that the people who have looked into this realize that none of us on our own could possibly stand against the overwhelming wealth and power intelligence that we're the supernatural intelligence that's on the other side.
Yes. And this intelligence wants to take the loving God and Father that we see revealed biblically and turn him into an impersonal thing, an impersonal idea far removed from us. And that's not biblical truth. Biblical truth is the unconditional, the overwhelming love of God for his children. And they want to destroy that.
They certainly do. And if they can get us to begin to question the biblical story.
Yes.
Question the biblical truth. Question the authority of the scriptures. All they have to do is raise that question in our mind. And once we begin really wondering, is it really true, we're not going to be able to rely upon the Lord, because the faith that we've been given is eroded. And so we have to avoid that at all, under all circumstances. You know, sometimes too much knowledge can be a very, very dangerous thing. The Bible's pretty straightforward. And sometimes people who believe the simple story of the Bible are a lot smarter than the people who can quote all of these other sources. But
they're
educated far beyond their intelligence is one of the things that I really believe.
Well, you know, the verse that says what the Scripture is alive. It's alive and powerful and able to touch and cut to the marrow, cut to the bone, to empower us and to teach. And there is great supernatural power just in reading the Word of God. I know it transformed my life.
Well, for everybody, we're out of time, Jill. Good night. God bless you. Thank you so
much. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope that you've enjoyed this two-hour session with Jill. And if you'd like to, of course, get the copies of the tape, that they are available, or CD available through Radio Liberty, by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then again, remember this conference. It's going to be in Fullerton in Southern California. And it's going to be on the 18th and 19th, the weekend there. And of course, you can go to Jackie Elnor's website. And if you need more information, you can go to waltermartin.com or waltermartin.org. And that website will give you the information. That's Jill's website, named after, of course, her father, Walter Martin. This was Jill Martin. Richie, who's been good enough to be with us this evening, she's going to be speaking along with Joanna Michelson, Dee Dee Bobgan, and of course Jackie Elnor will be there. And I think you'll find it will be a fascinating experience. And in some ways, I wish I could go, and I hope my wife is able to go. And I think people who do go to this conference will, of course, get a great deal, because people we've talked to who are going to be speaking all have so much to say. But people have to understand, this battle is not imaginary. It's the basis of our political challenges. It's the basis of what's happening financially today. It's why our children are coming out of school confused and losing their sense of values. It's the basis of the ideological battle. It's the basis of the cultural war that's going on today. And certainly, if you'd like to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will introduce you to it. Our four-tape set, or four-CD set, delving into Rhonda Byrne's talk, I should say book and CD, The Secret Behind the Secret. Let me suggest my talk. It's called The Forbidden Secret, and it will take you into exactly the same thing Rhonda Byrne does. It will tell you that basically everything she says is true, except there is a power there, but you don't want to be tapping into that, not if you value your eternal soul. And there is wealth and power and influence to be had, but you do not want to get that from the dark spiritual forces that she is putting you in touch with through the law of attraction. And so, basically the forbidden secret comes with a syllabus. It will give you tremendous insight, as well as the four tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will introduce you to this entire subject. Please go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Pull down our newsletters, watch our DVDs, listen to our programs on a regular basis, and encourage others to. Our four tape set on the occult hierarchy is an excellent introduction to the supernatural forces that are out there that you want to avoid at all circumstances. Part of this is the writings of Dennis Cuddy, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and part of it is my newsletters. But we hope that you will get the three pamphlet set, The Occult Hierarchy. And then remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. The book, Hostages to the Devil, Hostages to the Devil, by Father Malachi Martin, a Jesuit priest. And then our four-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, dealing more with the geopolitics of the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church is a very important part of everything going on here today, because there are major forces in the world today. And of course, Father Martin said they were the West America and the Anglo-American establishment. There was Russia, and then there was the Vatican. And never forget, the Vatican plays a very important part in this move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion and the New World Leader. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.